the Zoning Board of Appeals of the Village of Pomona meeting is now in order. First order of business tonight will be 9 Cheesecoat Lane.
Sorry, I'm the engineer for the applicant. He's in traffic. Can the other application be heard first?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda is 34 North Ridge Road, which is the temple. It's my understanding that the attorney has requested an adjournment until the regularly scheduled meeting of October of 2025. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. What happened with that one is the board recalls at the last meeting the issue is going, the issue before this board is going to hinge on the results that they get before the New York State, their variance application before the state. Since the last meeting, the state scheduled a public hearing on that application on the, I forget the date, but it's the date right before our October meeting. So the applicant's counsel sent an email requesting that the hearing before this board be adjourned and commenced on that date, the date of the October meeting, so that he'd have some substantive results, hopefully, to report to the board from the day before. So, and my recommendation would be to go ahead and take a motion to adjourn the public reschedule the public hearing on that application for that October date, whatever the date is. Moshe, do you know 15th. The date of the October meeting?
15th.
The 15th. Yeah, so to schedule it for October 15th.
So moved.
Second.
So, I want to just state your name that you're making the motion.
Bill Baker.
And seconded by?
Yehuda Klein.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And so that matter is adjourned until October 15th. Next on the agenda is 8 Leyden Town Road. Before we start, I think because it was put over to this meeting to open the public meeting, I think it would be advisable if we open the public meeting, give you a chance to speak, open it to the public, and at least this way we'll get the clock started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, you have a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved.
By Mr. Baker.
Thank you.
Any second?
Second.
By Mr. Klein. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion to open the public meeting carries 3-0.
I just want to inquire whether is there any time stated on the agenda? Because I don't know. Is
7:30.
Oh, 7:30. Yes. Good evening. My name is Rafika Nandari. I'm the attorney. My address is 6 Concrete Road, Mississippi. I'm representing Sri Ranganatha Seva Santi, which was merged into Sri Ranganatha Temple, which is a religious corporation. The temple brought this appeal, seeking reversal of the building inspector's determination dated May 14, 2025. The main issue, I believe, is whether the temple can provide a monastery type of a communal residence for its ordained priests on the second floor of the social hall as an incidental and protected religious use. I believe that is the main issue. The other issues are minor, and we will address afterwards. Because the other one is social hall. Social hall is the Court of Appeals, starting in 1956, stated a social hall is permitted, and it actually, in Bates' case, the Court of Appeals actually stated it is a religious It is a religious activity for the church to provide a place for social groups to meet, since the church, by doing so, is developing into a stronger and closer religious unit. And to limit a church to being merely a house of prayer and sacrifice would in large degree be deprived the church of the opportunity of enlarging, perpetuating, and strengthening itself to the congregation. That's the Court of Appeals issued in 1956, approximately 65 years ago. Since then, the Court of Appeals and all other New York courts have been repeatedly recognized that religious uses extend beyond prayer services and include social halls, classrooms, residences for clergy, monasteries, convents, and parsonages and those are all facilities integrated to religious practices. So the Court of Appeals clearly says the church is more than merely an edifice, affording people the opportunity to worship God. Strictly, religious uses and activities are more than prayers and sacrifice, and all churches recognize that the area of their responsibility is broader than leading the congregation in prayer. Since that case, many of the New York courts decided that many of the religious uses are part of the house of worship. In the matter of the Capital City Rescue Mission versus the City of Albany, the court held that a parsonage was a place of worship, and housing the clergy was considered as a place of worship, a place used for worship or religious ceremonies. This is in Albany, where Albany Court provides only a place of worship and did not provide for parsonage. So the court ruled it that the parsonage was a place of worship, and they approved it under the court for a place of worship. Not only they approved as a parsonage of the place of worship, they extended it for 14 to occupy the parsonage by 14 homeless individuals as a religious use, because they indicated that helping the needy is a religious use and they should approve it, and that's how they approved it. In other cases, where in McGowan versus the village of Westbury, the second department, which is the controlling court for this case, held that even a cemetery was qualifies as a house place of worship, because according to the Roman Catholics, they pray dead, and the court extended it and stated that it is a religious use and it is allowed in a house of worship. And in the a committee to protect Outlook versus town of Woodstock, the planning board approved the monastery as a church or a place of worship. And the petitioner in that case argued that the town can only approve the place of worship, which is a portion of the premises which is used for worship only, and the rest of 42 bedrooms and dining hall and laundry facilities and their meeting rooms and office rooms, bookshop and a library, which are all used for residences and retreats, should not be used as a religious use. But the court said, affirmed the planning board's approval and stated that it is a religious use and they approved it. They approved the retreats and bedrooms and everything as part of the house of worship. And not only the court repeatedly used the expanded the house of worship for all religious uses or anything integral to religious activities. It also, in several cases, the court said the local zoning boards required a greater flexibility in evaluating an application for a religious use than other uses. And also they enforced an affirmative duty saying that the zoning boards should suggest measures to accommodate the proposed religious uses while mitigating the adverse effects, if any. And the courts once again empowered the zoning boards to issue and protect religious uses by saying that if the court covers a house of worship as a protected use, no, if the ordinance permits a house of worship, it says it amounts to a legislative finding that the permitted use is in harmony with the general zoning plan and will not adversely affect the neighborhood. So that's how the courts are interpreting it. And in addition to the state case laws and case laws, the federal protections are also applicable to religious uses. First Amendment pre-exercises of religion and all of our further prohibit unreasonable restrictions on religious housing, and it recognizes that monasteries and clergy residences are not merely housing, but core religious institutions and essential to worship, ritual observance, and the religious mission. The village code of Pomona is silent about religious housing. However, they permit house of worship, and it is specifically only house of worship. But if you apply these cases, which were held in New York State, they expanded to parishes, monasteries, and as long as it is a religious use, they are saying it falls under house of worship. So our position is the proposed monastery type of residence falls under religious use and falls into the category of permitted use of the house of worship by special permit. This particular temple had obtained a special permit in 1996, and they built a house of worship, and it has been continuing services for the last 24 years. And this application is in connection with an expansion, and which proposed a social hall and on the second floor of this residential communal type of residence for only ordained priests. Based on the New York State case law and the federal pre-exercise of religion and all this, the zoning board should building inspectors to the interpretation of the court by stating that the proposed monastery that the housing is in the place of hospital. And I will defer to the engineers and the architects who will explain the project. Thank you.
I guess Ramya Ramanath, the planner for the applicant from Hazel Asher Ziegler, located in New City, New York. At this point, would you want to call the public forward, or should we give you an overview of the project again? Whichever way the board wants to do.
Why don't you present the project, and then this way the public will hear everything, and then can come with their comments.
Sounds good. Thank you. So I'm going to be summarizing my presentation from last time and focus on primarily the central point of the debate in the building inspector's memo. So first I'll just give you a walkthrough of the project again in the interest of the public for attending, and we then move on to discuss our main point of contention in the memo. So the parcel is 4.7 acres in size. It's located on 8 Leidentown Road in Pomona. Currently there's a community house of worship on site. It has two floors. We have a basement and we have a first floor. Totaling to 15,500 square feet. The addition in total would be 30,000 square feet, which would bring the proposed community house of worship to 45,500 square feet. The 30,000 addition is getting split 15,000, 15,000 in the basement and the first floor. The basement addition is going to carry some classrooms, storage offices, and some restrooms. The first floor addition is not going to change the existing first floor, which is the prayer hall and the sanctuary, but it's going to add a passage all around it, around the existing structure. This is for the temple patrons to conduct religious processions that happen typically in the months of December and January. These are cold months, it's snowing outside. According to religious doctrines, this procession has to happen barefoot. So the patrons would really appreciate an enclosed space to practice their religious customs in a comfortable environment. So that's the addition that opens the building, proposed building square footage to 45,500 square feet. Apart from what's getting added to the existing house of worship, the clients are proposing an accessory building on the other side of the temple. This is again two floors. The structure would total to 12,700 square feet. The first floor is the social gathering hall. This is only for the temple patrons. It is not going to be leased or rented. I just want to clarify. The second floor is the monastery, which is going to be a topic of discussion for tonight. This monastery is designed to house up to 16 non-transient priests. Sometimes they may have spouses, and non-religious priests may have children. That's just how Hindu religion is set up. Priests can be married and they can have kids. So what this expansion in total is doing is it's going to bring down the parking spaces by 20. We have 87 parking spaces on site right now. This expansion would bring the parking down to 67 spaces, but we still exceed the code requirements. So that would not be a variance as far as this project is concerned. So now moving on to the main topic of discussion with this project and the memo that has been rendered by the building inspector is the monastery that we propose in the second floor of the accessory building. The building inspector has opined that this monastery is in fact a dormitory or a multi-family dormitory. Now we have five main reasons why this is not that. First and foremost will be the village of Pomona ECO. Section 130-4 of the village Pomona code defines a dormitory, and I'm going to quote, a building operated by an educational institution located on the same lot and accessory to a principal school use. This proposal is not related to a school, so by definition, this should not be a dormitory. The second reason would be the non-commercial nature of this monastery. Typically, a dormitory would be revenue generating, through tuition, rent, boarding fees. This monastery has not been designed as a source of revenue for the temple. It's a facility that the temple wants to provide its priests, who being on close proximity to the community house of worship makes most sense, because priests in Hindu customs are required to service the temple at different times during the day. So being on site makes the whole process a lot more efficient for the priest and the temple. Our third reason is the nature of habitation in this structure. A dormitory is typically housed by transient people. They're not related to one another except for the mere fact that they happen to be living in the same building. But in this structure, which has been designed purposefully to serve as a monastery, priests will be living intentionally in a communal setting. They'll be carrying out their daily lives in a religiously governed environment. And these are all hallmarks of monastic life. Our fourth point of contention, and this is the main one, is that to agree with the building inspector's memo would be prioritizing form over function. To say that this floor plan resembles a dormitory does not make it one, and resemblance is not at test. Courts have consistently held, like Radhika pointed out, form cannot override function when it comes to religious land uses. This building has been designed to serve as a monastery, and it will be overseen by the temple. And our fifth point of contention here is that monastic traditions can include families. The building inspector's memo goes to say that a monastery typically would not have families, would probably not have children. And we respectfully submit that this is a narrow understanding of monastic traditions. In communities like Hinduism, priests are allowed to be married. They do have children, and they can live in a communal setting that is governed by religious principles. if the board had a chance to look at the affirmation that was submitted by the head priest prior to the last meeting, he's attesting that there are certain rituals and customs that can only be performed by a married priest. So in Hinduism, families are not incidental, they are essential to all spheres of life, and monastic life included. So in closing, I'd just like to say that, yes, we agree this plan has to be fleshed out more. We have some comments from the village engineer we need to look into, and this plan has to be developed in those technical aspects. But without knowing if this layout as shown right now would be allowed to proceed, we are hesitant to delve into those details at this point. So we're here tonight to respectfully request the board to kindly allow this monastery as an accessory use to this community house of worship. This provision, along with the enclosed procession passage, is going to alleviate much of the hardship the priests and patrons are facing. So thank you so much for hearing us out. If you have any questions, we're happy to answer. And if the public has any questions, we're happy to answer.
Okay. Before we open it to the public, initially, does the board have any questions of the applicant?
Yeah.
And I'll reserve my questions till after the. Any members of the public wishing to comment or ask any questions?
I just need a comment.
Sure. Step up, give your name and address to the clerk.
No,
to the clerk. And then come to the podium.
You can leave that there. So.
I know you just wrote your name down, but could you state it?
Hi, my name is Hannah. I live on Opal, not far from here. Happens to be, it was really nice to get here really quickly, since Slayton Town is a small narrow road. But, since we're not so overpopulated, I have the liberty of being able to get wherever I want to get to in a nice amount of time. But what I do want to say is that I can't even believe that I have to even make these comments right now, because as far as I'm concerned, I know when moving to Pomona, every location, every single residential area is a single family homed area. So now by doing something like this, my concern is overpopulation, something turning into Brooklyn where it's not what my intentions were when I moved here. Not only that, I specifically moved here to an area that's quiet, suburban-like, and even moving to an area which is in a cul-de-sac of a cul-de-sac. I live in Opal, so like, more privacy than any privacy can happen would be on my block. And, in terms of having something like this where now you're decreasing parking your space, correct? So we're having more people, less parking. I'm not really sure, Leyden Town is, it's a double-sided one road. It's a two-way, but one-way. We have to be thinking about emergencies. We're creating congestion, traffic. And not only that, by allowing something like this, you're almost setting precedent to allow it with almost anyone else who comes with this idea of having more than one single home. So, this is going to be like a domino effect. And then we're going to be ending up with quote-unquote buildings instead of just single homes, which is something that I moved here specifically to look forward towards. So that would be my comments, my concerns. I think they're pretty valid. I think it's something that, think about emergency vehicles potentially going down Leyden Town for an emergency, and there's so much congestion, traffic, what do we do then? So that's something that I think really has to be thought in.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Yoel Kimalevitz. I live on 15 Jade Court, within 500 feet of the temple property. My concern is, specifically moved to this area about 10 years ago, just to have more a neighborhood of single-family homes, multi-family homes, quiet, peaceful, quiet at night, and having a social hall, having large events, which potentially could bring much more cars that would need parking, more traffic, more possible congestions, and with that potential loud noises at night, as well as she mentioned that once something becomes accepted, it could then be replicated in the neighborhood, which having many properties that could have multi dwellings or multi apartments or other venue spaces or event spaces, social halls opening, could really just change the character of the neighborhood and the roads and the safety and noise, noise pollutions and everything like that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
My concern here is the size of this project. I kind of feel uncomfortable coming here and speaking against a neighbor who's trying to do a nice thing, which what it sounds like. But the size of this project is going to change the landscape of this village in a way that there's no way back. My concern here is the noise at night. I live right behind the temple. So every night, if you're having a social hall, you're saying it's only for congregants, but it's unclear how that's defined. So potentially we're talking about a party every night, noise till 11 o'clock at night on a legal way. That's not what we signed up for. The second concern is the burden on the very limited infrastructures here in the village. As my friends here mentioned, Leyden Town is a very narrow road. As it is, it's already very, very heavy in traffic. It's changed. I've been here only for 7 years, but it's changed in those 7 years. I'm sure everybody here knows this. And this is going to change it in a way that there's no doubt about it, in a way that there's no way back from. And then last and not least, even if you were able to resolve these concerns, which I don't see how that'd be possible with the size of this project, then we're talking about the idea that anybody now, this precedent sent, that anybody can now do the same thing, and before we know it, we end up how Airmont is today, where it used to be more like us not that long ago. These are all my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public?
I have some questions, but I can do it before or after.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
Let me do it now.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, please.
And one is, obviously, we're here to review the determination by the building inspector in saying this is in violation of village code. Right? That's the sole purpose of this application, as I understand it, correct? So one of the things I have to ask is, where do the priests currently live?
They live off-site. I don't know the exact details on where they're living. The attorney can shed light on that, but they live off-site and they commute.
So they live off-site and they're able to commute and perform their functions?
Yes. But
currently?
Yes, but just a point to that is, because their services are needed, like I said, intermittently throughout the day, it's easier for them to have a place of respite somewhere on-site. That just makes the whole functioning and life much easier for the priests.
And I know you're referring to the residential community housing as a monastery, but whether we call it a monastery or residential communal communal housing. My question is, how do we make the determination as to whether it's an accessory use or, under the code, a second primary residence? I mean, have you looked into that?
Thank you. I'm Jan Degenshine, architect and planner. I'd like to address that question first and then briefly address the fears and concerns of the public who have spoken before. They're certainly entitled to a response to that as well. There is nothing in the Village of Pomona code defining what accessory uses to community places of worship are. And this does fall into that process. It is a small number of people, and their presence on site is really essential to them, to the functioning of the church. The question of whether it's a residence or a monastery is one that I picked up in review of the New York State Building Code, granting that the New York State Building Code is more concerned with fire safety and construction than it is with zoning use. They do have a very distinct definition between a small monastery and a regular monastery. And their definition of a small monastery is one that has 16 or fewer residents living in it. So because the residents will only be used by priests and their families, it is associated with the church, and because it's a function of the church, we believe that it is an accessory use to the church, or the temple in this particular case. It's something that hasn't been come across in most communities in New York State, but somewhere along the line, probably because of some of the cases that council listed before, the state became aware of it, and they did make that distinction. And what we are asking is that the Village of Pomona Zoning Board of Appeals agree with that distinction, that it is a use that is accessory to the function of a community place of worship. Regarding some of the other issues, I don't want people to go home with the same fears that they had before, even though we're not talking about those things. We will not be increasing the population at all of the Village of Pomona. The priests who are now off-site, at their inconvenience because they have to be on-site at early hours and late hours, will no longer have to commute to the site, whether it's 5 minutes away or 15 minutes away, but they will be on-site. The social hall is not what one would consider a commercial social hall. It is going to be used particularly for celebrations of events like marriages that have just taken place at the Hindu temple. So that, in effect, we're reducing the amount of traffic because nobody will be required to leave the temple, get in their car, drive down the driveway, and go somewhere else. They'll just have to cross the parking lot on a walkway that was designed for that purpose to the social hall. And the social hall will only be used by the members of the Hindu temple. The temple itself will not be growing in size of its congregation. That will remain the same. So the functions are there just to facilitate the uses of the religious practices. The larger area surrounding the existing Hindu temple will be used for a very special program, very special religious practice, where a large chariot is carried by other humans around the house of worship. And it occurs in the winter, so that the people who are involved in this, who are shirtless in some instances and shoeless in all instances, will be able to do what they have to do without having to deal with natural events. So there is no need for concern. concern for parking because there will be no more population there, and the parking lot is not fully in use as it is and does meet the requirements of the Village of Pomona for the number of people who will be there. There will be no more traffic. In fact, there will be less traffic. The social hall will have a very narrow use and will not create more noise at different times of the year. A special permit use is allowed for religious purpose in the Village of Pomona, and it will not affect the amount of dwelling units. In fact, it won't change at all. I thank you. If you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah, I just have a question just on that, on the first point you made, Mr. Degenshain, and in response to Chairman Lamer's question. You were saying that because it's only, because the dwelling units are only going to be occupied by priests and their families, that means it is an accessory use to a house of worship, not a residential use, because it's, it can be classified as a monastery. Is that, do I have, is that what you were saying?
By logical extension, yes. It isn't dwelling units. It's a single dwelling unit that is shared communally. There will be a bedroom and bathroom for each of the priests, a very small sitting area if they're going to be contemplating late at night and need privacy, and then there will be a common dining and living area for all the priests. So it does not really fit the characteristics of a dwelling unit, since there will be just one kitchen for all the participants.
But the code define, like, a single, it prohibits anything other than a single family use, and it defines family as people that are related, or if they're unrelated, it prohibits anything greater than four unrelated people. And if it does, then it's not a single family, it's a multiple family dwelling, and as such it's prohibited. And the code, that, as I'm reading it, on the issue of accessory, what's allowed in, as an accessory facility in a house of worship, I think it's 130-10 G10 says that a dwelling unit established at a community house of worship shall not be considered as accessory to the community house of worship, but rather as an additional principal use, which shall independently meet all bulk and area requirements. Can you mesh those two things together? Because
yes,
it seems like one is saying the exact opposite of what you're advocating.
Yes.
So I'm trying to mesh those together.
I would say that the Village of Pomona, rightfully, because it's so uncommon, did not contemplate the practice of Hindu religion, and that therefore they're not accommodating the religious purposes that are proposed here. Therefore, it is my position that the definitions that you just quoted should be expanded to include those that would be functional to the Hindu religion.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Any questions from the board?
Can I rebuttal to something he said?
Hold on one second. Okay, so the public hearing is still open, which is why I left it open. If there's something you'd like to address, same procedure, step up, come to the lectern, put it on the record if you want, if you have something to ask or comment. Just state your, I know you already gave it, so state your name again.
So you did bring up that social hall will not add to any noise in the neighborhood. I wanted to see if you can explain how that'd be possible. Are you building the hall to be zero noise? Like, how does that work?
Okay.
Yeah.
Please.
It is a reasonable concern that a social hall might have a lot of loud music, and that loud music might extend on into the into the night. It will not be such for the celebrations of weddings and other celebrations that are here. We're also prepared to put sound attenuation within the space so that both the glazing and the exterior walls and roof would be such that it would contain any noise that would be produced. And again, because of the limited nature and the planning board or the village board providing a special permit use may wish to further limit when the social hall can be used so that it will not be a disturbance. But it is not a commercial social hall in any respect.
Can I ask one question?
The decline.
It seems that the number six, where did the number 16 come from? Is that coming from, because that's the definition of a small monastery, or it has to do with the number of priests actually in the temple?
No, that definition is in the New York State Building Code, and again, that is separate and not of issue here. I don't anticipate that there will be 16 people. I was just using that as an example.
Okay. How many priests are there?
Eight.
How many?
Eight.
There are eight priests, there may be perhaps two wives, and there may be one or two small children. So that could probably be further limited, but it was just an example.
Okay.
And that was just so it paralleled the building code?
Yes.
If you choose to, do not have to.
Understood. Please.
Hey, I know we mentioned that we shouldn't be concerned regarding the parking and the congestion of the cars. I'm just curious, do the priests plan on not having cars ever and not leaving the house for groceries or anything like that? To me, it sounds like there's going to be, if there's eight priests less spouses and so on and so forth, we need a minimum of two cars per household. We're talking about 16 times two, so there will be cars there unless, I'm not sure, do they never leave the house? Do they never go out? So to me, it still sounds like I do have a concern regarding congestion and parking.
The number of priests that are out in the community right now are exactly the same number of priests that will be on site. So what that means is if a priest has to go out for either his duties as a priest or personally, it will not increase traffic in any way whatsoever on the site. Because of the nature of the priests, most of them not married, there's no need to have two cars per household. In fact, some of the priests do not have automobiles at all, and they depend upon public transportation or walking in this event. So human nature would obviously take us all to a place of greatest fear. What I'm trying to do is allay those fears. They're not going to be contributing to more need for parking or more need for traffic control. And in fact, based on the ability to have a ceremony after or a celebration after a ceremony on site means that there will be fewer cars that will be on the streets on those particular days.
Okay, we'll take one more, at least.
Hi, good evening.
I know you gave a name to the clerk, but just for
the
recording.
My name is Dov Goodman. I live on 9 Chamberlain Court. I walk every Saturday to Langton area, where the church is located, to cross the street. I don't know what they're saying about not having more traffic, but sometimes they're so many cars that they have to use the camps parking lot to park their cars, even though they have a big parking spot by themselves. So, well, let's put it on record that I'm opposing this building of this 60 minutes, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
If I may, just a quick response to that.
Sure.
Like any community house of worship and with any religion, we have a few days in a year when those days are very important religiously. So, yes, and those days are the ones in December and January that I'm talking about, that patrons from near and far would come to the temple to seek the blessings of the Lord Almighty. And it's not every day, it's not every weekend, it's a few days in a year. The schedule of those events is a part of the submission package, it's in the narrative. It notes which days of importance are there, where we, and how many people we anticipate to visit the temple on those days. For those instances, the temple does have an agreement or a parking management plan that the planning board will be reviewing if this proceeds as proposed, where the temple has an agreement with the camp to, in those rare occasions, to allow patrons to park at the camp. But it is not a daily or a usual occurrence.
And so the record's clear, we're referring to Camp Ramakoi?
Yes.
If I may, today's appeal is only to review the building inspector's interpretation and the parking, and we will provide a parking plan and the parking spaces and the noises. All the other concerns will be addressed at the time of special permit application.
No, understood.
Well, so at least because we don't have all the answers, and some of them will be provided to the planning board and the town also.
Right.
Those are the issues that are addressed.
It's understood that our sole function with this application is to make a determination as to the validity of the findings of the building inspector.
That's
right. Despite his rationale.
That's right. Also, I would like to know what is the address for this lady. She, can
yeah.
I have your address?
Yeah, sure. Six Opal.
Pardon?
Six Opal Court. Six Opal Road.
Road.
Yeah.
Okay. There being no, I'm going to close the motion.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
By Mr. Baker, second by Mr. Vike. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so public hearing is closed. As a result, we now have 62 days in which to make a determination of this application. Because of the legal issues involved, and we're making a determination as to what the code does and doesn't include and its effect, I'm recommending that we have a meeting with counsel at least prior to making our determination, whether at a separate time or at the next meeting, so we have a chance to determine how we're going to interpret the code and interpret whether Mr. Zumo's determination was correct or incorrect.
I think that's a very good idea, an attorney-client privilege session to get legal advice on the legal issues involved in this application would be appropriate. We can do that. We don't have to schedule it right now because
right.
It'll, you know, we can either do it at the next meeting, as you mentioned. We could, you know, recess into an attorney-client session, or between meetings, we can conduct an attorney-client privilege session for the purpose of getting, you know, seeking and receiving legal advice. So we don't have to determine when we're going to do that right now.
Correct.
You know, like you said, we have 62 days to make the determination. Just wondering if 62 days on the calendar, where that falls in regard to the October meeting. Anybody have a day or calendar day counter to know whether that's more or less than 62 days?
Today's the 20th, so.
15th. The October meeting.
Yeah, today.
So the October meeting is going to be within 62. If it's the 15th, it'll be within. So
yeah.
We would anticipate making a decision either at the September meeting or the October meeting. Either one would be timely.
Understood. It comes out to October
21st. Is October 21st.
So the October meeting is within the time limit.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Good. Okay. So, yeah, I think that concludes concludes the proceedings on this application this evening, I think, unless anybody else has anything further they'd like to discuss on the record.
Thank you so much for your time, and if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to address your questions if they come up. Thank you. Have a good night.
Very well.
Thank
you.
You
too.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can.
And we will have.
The record will reflect. It's received. The August 19th letter.
That's
the one, right?
Yeah.
It's in the record. The record. It's definitely there, and it was before us. You if you would like to state it now, you can state it now for the record as well, and I'll agree.
There was also an email.
Yeah.
Yes.
The board, a supplemental letter was sent to the village, and the hard copies were provided today, dated August 19th. It was my letter, and that it was the court made it part of the record.
Yes, that letter, the board has that letter, and it's part of the record. And I saw it as you were speaking, a lot of what you were talking about were the cases that you were citing in there. And I've got to do a good review of that for the board's benefit as well. But thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay. Going back to 9 Cheesecake.
Let me just interrupt for a second, because I believe this is on for a public hearing. We should entertain a motion to open the public hearing, assuming all the, Mr. Arndt said all the postings and mailings, proof of postings and mailings come in?
I did get it by email. I did not get a hard copy of that.
Okay. All right, but you saw the email, the proof was submitted to you in that form.
Okay, I've seen the email, and it was sent to you guys by email as well.
Okay, so
I did not receive a hard copy. I don't know what's going to be through.
Okay, but if you could please submit the hard copy, but there's nothing about that would interfere with you opening the public hearing if the proof was submitted by email.
Yeah, that would be a hard copy of the receipts, the little tabs that they get from the. Okay, sure.
Yeah, and usually there's an affidavit that goes along with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Mr. Orange has been diligent in working with us to get this thing prepared. They definitely emailed it, and I'll make sure they get any original items that I need.
Okay, so
open the meeting.
There's a motion by Mr. Baker to open the public hearing. Second, Ms. Klein. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
So it carries 3-0. Presentation by the applicant.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for moving the matter, shifting it down a little. I was running late from a presentation. Hit some traffic. I got to learn a little bit about the temple, so it was interesting. We purchased this home a couple of years ago, and we love it. It's a spot. I had wanted to create a swimming pool. We had looked at it a while back, and we found it very challenging to put the swimming pool on our lot. The lot is somewhat of an odd-shaped lot. It's a pizza-shaped lot. It's at the end of Cheesecake Lane, adjoining the Cheesecake Park. Our lot lines are adjacent to the park on two sides, with other residential houses on the other two sides of the lot. At the time when we tried to lay out the pool, we had a lot of challenge doing that, and we kind of laid off it for a little bit. I was since diagnosed with like an aortic aneurysm, which limits the forms of exercise I'm able to do, and kind of really put it front and foremost that I really need to create the swimming pool so I can do exercise, at least in the seasonal, and keep it open 5 months a year, 4 months a year. In laying out the swimming pool, we tried very hard to make it compliant, but because we have these two lot lines at the back of the lot that are almost like a pizza this way, if you were to adhere to the required setbacks, I mean, it would put the swimming pool basically almost into the house. In addition, the left side of the backyard, the topography will show that it's roughly 10, 15 feet of rock rising out. It's almost like when I look out the window, I see a big hill going up of rock, which is very challenging and not ideal to put a swimming pool into. Now, what makes this lot unique as well is that my neighbors behind me are roughly 50 feet higher elevation than I am. So the portions of their lot that's adjoining mine are not really usable. I had them out there, I walked them through the property, all four of my neighbors. That means the three that are adjoining at the rear and the one that's on the left side of the lot. I explained to them what I'm trying to do, and they have written, all four of them have written letters of support for this application. And the other neighbor essentially is the park, which is densely wooded. The long path is about, I don't know, a couple hundred feet away from my lot line. And there was no letters or anything submitted from the town of Havishaw. I actually stopped by the Parks Department to speak with them, and I told them about the application. They were uninterested, I would say. So we went about, we got these letters of support from them. I tried, you know, very much to accommodate the setbacks. We really want to do this, most importantly for my health. I guess I'm going to answer any questions. I know this is a big ask, right? I mean, 5 feet versus 25 feet. You know, I realize that it's a big ask, but also think it's a unique situation. A, because of the support that I have from my neighbors. Secondly, that I'm so remote and almost in the park. Third of all, that the lots adjacent to me are such a big elevation change that, and densely wooded, so it's almost not, it's not visible or would affect anybody from behind. I just want to mention that we also did a GML review on this because of the proximity to the long path. And first time in my career, I saw a GML letter with no comments. So it looks like the county had no issues or concerns either.
And so the record's clear, and I'm familiar with the park, at least since I've lived up there for 32 years on the corner of Haley in North Ridge, and I was on the planning board when we built Cheesecoat. Long path is a county trail marked by those little green things that look exactly the same color as the leaves in the summer, so you never know where you're walking. But it is a path that runs through the park. I just want to make sure the record's clear on that. Any questions?
You said that it would be difficult to put the park, to keep maintain the setbacks. Have you gone through the exercise of siding the pool that with the, what it would look like if you maintained the 25-foot setback? Where would it go?
Yes, I mean it would be encroaching into the deck that's back there, and I believe almost touching the house.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, well, first of all, I lose my my entire deck. I lose any part of the usable yard whatsoever, because I mean the left side is a rock outcrop, so it's not really usable. So I lose basically the entire ability to use the that portion of the backyard. I believe it's either encroached or literally at the house, and for safety reasons, that's also very not practical to do that.
So has any attempts been made to mitigate the 5 feet, if not within the 25-foot setbacks, but looking at something in between, which would be an accommodation to give you your house and deck without being interrupted, but also not being a 5-foot setback, which is not necessarily a precedent that I'd be comfortable setting?
Mm-hmm. I guess we, with one side of it, right, as we move it back, we also move it left, right? So any movement right now at the back, right, the property line's like this. So anytime we want to move it off the rear lot line, it also slides to the left of the property because it to also keep the right setback, right? So it just travels left. So it runs into that, kind of all into that rock outcrop as we slide it left. I guess theoretically, if we were to move it back a little bit from the back lot line and move it a little bit left and maybe shrink it a little bit, like we could technically move it off the rear lot line a little more. I think it would be more difficult on the right lot line, which is the bar.
Right.
Well, you could think about moving the pool house away from the lot line, or just put a pool without a pool house, and maybe move everything back, scale the project down to allow at least some closer approximation of the required setbacks.
I'm not opposed to moving the pool house. Because of the way the pizza slice is kind of in there, I think it would still have, even if I took the pool house, which my engineer can correct me if I'm wrong, if I took the pool house out, I think I would still be maintaining the same setback or close to it from the corners, right?
So we'd still have the 5 feet along this side, and then this is the patio, and so we have like a retaining wall around here. So the pool is about 2 feet higher than the existing grade next to it. So we have a couple of steps to get up to it. They're kind of working with the grade that's there. Again, there's rock underneath. So by coming up another 2 feet, that's 2 feet less down to go. So I think what he was referring to, I didn't introduce myself, I'm sorry. Rachel Garise from Civil Tech Engineering and Surveying, PC. The address is 139 Lafayette Avenue, Suffern, New York. Sorry, I forgot to start with that.
No problem.
As Mark was saying, so if we slide it this way to get away from this side, then you're going closer, more into the rock. But we can look at, you know, if we can pick up like maybe a couple of feet one way and the other. But as you mentioned, there is, you know, elevation difference that the neighbors were okay with it. And I know that the big thing is setting precedent. And in this case, there are unique factors based on the shape of the lot, based on the exposed bedrock, based on the neighbor being one of the big neighbors along one whole side being the park. So I think that at least if it is something that you were willing to consider, that there's things that differentiate this so that the next application doesn't say, well, they got 5 feet, but how many lots are there that are next to the park and have the bedrock and have a unique shape? And so there's different factors that make this a unique situation than we typically see.
If you have bedrock and you're close to a park, maybe it's just not a suitable site for a pool.
I mean, I think Mark explained some of his reasons why he is looking to add the pool.
Yes. Mostly for my health and obviously for the use of my family. mean, you know, Pomona has lots of heart-shaped lots, and I've seen pools on front lots, not just on rear lots and side lots, you know. I think things are definitely unique over here.
Have you thought about looking at the front, putting the pool at the front lot?
The front lot, I have less space in front of the house, actually.
So part of where this driveway comes through, it this is part of the road, and then here is his driveway, and so this is how you would even access it. Like part of the road comes right through up into him.
I think the variances that we're asking for here are only the setbacks. I believe there's some variances listed there that were the building inspector asked us to list. They were previously granted as part of the approval of the house before I purchased it.
Yes, we listed the lot area as an existing condition. The lot frontage is an existing condition. The lot width is existing condition. So the two variances would be the side yard and the rear yard. And we are proposing to take out the existing driveway and replace it with pervious pavement so that they can be compliant with their coverage. So he is proposing other things to help mitigate the improvement. Or if you want to just give him a variance for lot coverage, then he'll go back to pavement and we'll pull out his driveway. But, you know, we thought we would pick what they needed.
My sense is that the board would like to see at least some potential alternatives before making a determination on this application.
Okay.
So again, you know, we have 60. Once we close the public hearing, which probably we will, we can either continue it, right? We can continue the public hearing. So you have an.
Yeah, I think in this case you might want to continue it so
yeah.
We can submit new materials
exactly.
And not cause any problems.
You don't want to get stuck with time limits and then we're.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't want to create problems. Okay, so do you want an alternative to be submitted, or do you want us to bring it back to you to show you at the next meeting?
Well, if you could submit it, at least we'll have a chance to review it before the next meeting.
Okay, and what's the time frame to have it submitted, and what is the next date? I'm sorry, I don't. I'm not here
no, I know.
Too often because I'm just not sure.
If you could tell me what the... It would be the third Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah, the next meeting is the third Wednesday of September. I don't know because I advise too many different boards to know what the submittal deadlines would be for that meeting. Do we have, Moshe, I know you're new to the party as well.
No,
do you know what the date is, the typical cutoff date that we would...
Wait, 2 weeks.
Mark Assistant... has all the dates. I believe Courtney has all the dates. If not, I'll email it
that's
regardless.
17th, I believe.
Okay.
I'll write it down to email
so,
her tomorrow.
So we'll check in with...
So it's like the Wednesday before Hashanah?
It's the 17th, the third Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah starts.
So we
Rosh Hashanah is Monday night, and then it's
Tuesday
and Wednesday.
Okay.
That's the Latin term for the night before.
Erev.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a more casual Jew, but I still do those.
Okay. So, do we need a motion to continue?
It can't hurt. Yeah, motion to continue as of the date certain, so the record's clear.
Move by Mr. Baker. Is there any second?
Second.
Mr. Zweig. All in favor?
We make a good team.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0 for the continuation of the public hearing until the next scheduled meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals. On September 17th.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You too.
Thank you very much.
Okay. The meeting is adjourned.
I'm not sure if it's going to be the
noticed the camel under the tent.
Welcome to officially now the Zoning Board of Appeals. Now you've asked questions.
Did I speak too much?
No, it was good. Your questions were spot on. Well done. Yeah.